Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Some of these headlines are just so funny. So this Florida man who is apparently a self-proclaimed bear trainer. Okay.
You're still alive. You're pretty good.
Yeah, in Okaloosa County. Apparently, the guy got in trouble because two Kodiak bear cubs escaped from an inadequate enclosure on his property. ABC Channel 3 has the story. They said that two Kodiak cubs found their way to the Sunshine State via a, quote, self-proclaimed bear trainer. And this, in Okaloosa County, Deputy Belial was the one who was called. This is his quote. He says, quote, "When I rolled up on the scene and this guy's literally playing with him in the middle of the street, I'm like, okay, this is definitely an odd call." He's like, "I've been to bear calls before, but they're black bears." He goes, "What piqued my interest with this one is when dispatch said the bears were in his truck." He goes, "Because all other calls I've responded to, they're in the trash or they're up a tree, but they're not like in a truck." And the Kodiak bears, that's the largest bear, right? In the world. That's like the biggest bear. And they're on Kodiak, the islands up there, the archipelago up there, which is like many miles away from Florida. And so the deputy said that, it was an inadequate enclosure. The guy got in trouble for that because they said that they said they could have been legally purchased and moved, but it's really almost impossible to obtain the proper permits to do that. And so they're still investigating. But yeah, that was pretty wild. Almost as wild. Oh no, I'm going to save this one for last. There's also this, a Florida man who was sentenced for an alarming series of crimes committed days after he was released from prison. Well, the giant neck tat definitely didn't give anything away. Central Florida man, he was sentenced Wednesday. Marion County jury convicted 45-year-old Rocco Gillanese for a whole list of charges. So they were Paddock Mall, a robbery. Apparently he robbed a JCPenney, $450-something worth. Some of it's sad. Like, he stole baby clothes and shoes. That's kind of sad. That makes me sad. But then he also did some other stuff, though. That's not sad at all. It's creepy. He ran up to some people's van in the parking lot and said, "Driver, I'll shoot you." So, yeah. And he had his arms full of merchandise. And he's, you know, he apparently ran up to a number of different cars and said that. And then at one point, he got into one car. The victim in the front passenger seat turned around, pushed him halfway out of the van. He tried to carjack a minivan. The driver stomped on the gas, sped off, causing the suspect to fall out and roll onto the pavement. Oh my gosh, this was crazy. And then he gets up and then he tries to rob another car. I mean, tried to rob like a whole handful of people in the matter of like 5 minutes, threatening to shoot everyone in the parking lot with his arms full of JCPenney onesies and shoes. This is weird. So he got a life sentence for his crimes because he's already had a huge record. And his status as a prison release reoffender. So he faced minimum mandatory, which included potentially life in prison, which is what they got. So, I mean, it sounds like that's where he needs to go. He sounds totally lawless. Imagine driving down the road and you just happen to see a dude wrestling a python in the middle of the highway. You're in Florida. A Florida man was hunting for invasive Burmese pythons in the Big Cypress National Reserve. He came across and captured the longest example of the species ever caught. All I'm going to say is this python can wrap itself around this dude easily. Yeah, it is terrifying. But he's like an actual python hunter because they're invasive species and they're bad into the ecosystem there. And they have no natural predator. So they have a major python, like a big python problem. And so it was a 20-foot long Burmese python. And it has the head the size of a dog. And as it wrapped around him, because he was wrestling with it, it legit unhinged its jaw because it was preparing to strike, to swallow him. I mean, he beat it, but oh my gosh. I don't like anything that can do that with its jaw. That's terrifying. But it's all on video. I can't. I don't have a problem with snakes. I do have a problem when giant snakes unhinge their jaws like they're going to swallow someone on video for my eyes to see. Because there's no backspace key. I don't like that. But yeah, he's a very successful python hunter, apparently. So yeah, I'm not 20 foot long. He's 22. This dude's 22. Jake Woolery, 22 years old. I bet he was tired. I mean, this thing is, it's like all muscle. It's crazy. All right, as we move, I just want to go to the range and blow some holes through stuff. Get my sub 2K. I need the Gen 3 now. I don't have the Gen 3, but I need the Gen 3. The sub 2K is gun origami. The whole thing twists. It's a 9mm carbine. It's awesome. It's so innovative. I think George Kellgren's like a mad in a good way scientist. He's like one of the nicest people I've ever met. He just smiles. He's all very friendly. And he's a man of few words, but he's super smart. He redesigned this. You got the Gen 3. And in the old sub 2K, you would have to take your optics off the top. You could still fold the whole thing in half, which is awesome. But you would have to take your stuff off. With the Gen 3, the whole thing, simple twist and fold motion. There's this patent pending rotating fore end. You can twist it in either direction. It folds the whole thing right in half with optics and all. It's awesome. And it easily deploys it just as smoothly. And they've also upgraded the aluminum trigger. They redesigned the trigger mechanics. You got a light and 5 pound pull, upgraded action. They got a new chamber indicator. It's awesome. It's Kel-Tec, made in America, family owned values at its best. And we need more companies like Kel-Tec. And I need a sub 2K Gen 3. To learn more about the sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Checking out, the woman says, "Oh, he's just walking out. He didn't pay for that." I said, "Well, why are you stopping him?" She goes, "Oh, the governor." Swear to God, true story. On my mom's grave, the governor lowered the threshold. There's no accountability. There's no. I said, "That's just not true." And she said, "We have the 10th toughest, $950, the 10th toughest in America." She didn't even know what I was talking about. By the way, it's the 10th toughest in America. Now look it up. No one gives a damn about
right.
that. And I said, it's just not true. There's still a stop. They said, well, we don't stop them because of the governor. And then she goes, she looks at me twice, and then she freaks out. She calls everyone over, wants to take photos. I'm like, no, I'm not taking a photo. We're having a conversation. Where's your manager? How are you blaming the governor? And it was, you know, $380 later. And I was like, why am I spending $380? Everyone can walk the hell right out.
Wow. He sounds like a true statesman, doesn't he? That's Gavin Newsom. He gets blamed for a shoplifting incident, and he gets mad, and he's like, "I didn't do this." But you kind of did, though, dude. I mean, he was surprised when the employees didn't intervene because there's no why. What's the purpose of them? Nothing's gonna happen to the guy. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. And that was California Governor Gavin Newsom. You could see his video. He was like on a Zoom call. If you were watching the simulcast of the radio program, which you can watch Channel 347 DirecTV, you can also listen to the radio program across the country. Yes, I'm on the mend from the plague. I'm doing a lot better. But it's thank you for your kind wishes. And everyone's like telling me, I did not realize. Can I just say sidebar real quick? Y'all have so many different recipes for chicken noodle soup. What is happening? Oh my gosh. I've got like 50. Yep. I didn't know it was such a contested thing. I feel like putting everyone in a cage and having everyone fight it out to see whose chicken noodle soup is the best. We're just about at that point. All right. So that was Gavin Newsom saying he was at a Target, you know, and there was a shoplifting incident and he got blamed to his face. And the worker didn't recognize him. Do you get the impression that he was mad that he wasn't recognized? That was the first thing I thought. I was like, bro's mad that he didn't get recognized. Huh, look at that. And she said, the governor lowered the threshold. There's no accountability. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Because you did that. And he's like, how are you blaming the governor? Yeah, you get to walk right out. I mean, he is literally the problem. He's been in, I mean, when he was mayor of San Francisco, he was pushing this stuff. I mean, good grief. They've lowered so many felonies to reduce them to misdemeanors. And he's like, oh, someone steals at Target with no consequences. It's the managers. manager's problem. I mean, see, you were part of this.
They increased the amount of theft. Like, it used to be around 500. Now it's up near $1,000.
Yeah, it's like $860-something
before they will
steal.
Prosecute. Yeah, so please.
And you just get a wrist slap. It's a misdemeanor offense. It's a misdemeanor. It used to be greater than that, and it was. I mean, you could get charged over it. And now they don't do that anymore. Don't you realize? I mean, you can go and steal $500, $800 worth of stuff and walk right out, and nothing's going to happen to you. I mean, that's not. That's why one of the reasons why you're seeing what you see, like all these stores getting ransacked and everything else. I mean, that's not, you know, and you're expecting these employees, and probably he was talking to a part-time employee. Is he like expecting these employees to intervene and stop and maybe put themselves in harm's way over something that the system isn't even going to enforce and follow up on? Like, he was mad that they didn't intervene and engage. But yet his policies and the policies that he pushed, not just when he was mayor of San Francisco, but when he was attorney general of the state of California, he absolutely promoted and campaigned on these things. And he expects them to put their safety and their physical selves in the way, on the line, to enforce something that they're not even going to press charges on. Why the hell would you? I mean, golly, is that not the epitome of privilege? This trust fund baby, and that's what he is. Gavin Newsom is a Nepo baby. I'm getting tired of these Nepo babies. He's a trust fund kid. It's the Newsoms, the Pelosis, the Hearsts, and the Gettys that run California, particularly San Francisco. Remember back, and this kind of makes sense. This will enlighten you to how he can have this perspective with a straight face. When was this? This was 2 years ago. Let me look this up. I'm going to make sure I got this right. This was 2 years ago. And this was when I think everything was still, maybe 3 years ago. And it was, November 2021. So this is when everything was still kind of locked down, especially in San Francisco. And so they're one of the Gettys, and it was one of the billionaire daughters of the Getty family. They ended up, and this is when everyone else had to wear masks in California. And we had friends who lived in L.A. and San Francisco at this time. And my friend, who used to be a Democrat, now she's a moderate. But she was in San Francisco. This was like it, because she got in trouble for going to a park with her 2-year-old son, and she didn't have a face mask on. And someone literally said something to her, and they had to put a face mask on at a park outside San Francisco. I'm not even making this up. So anyway, keep that in mind. So it was at San Francisco City Hall, and it was this huge Beaux-Arts building, right? This huge rotunda, very nice setting. And it was Ivy Getty. She's this very rich member of the Getty family. They flew John Galliano in, who was this designer who used to work with Alexander McQueen and all of this stuff. He went away for a little bit because he got drunk and went on an anti-Semitic tirade at a cafe. And it was captured on video. And then so he kind of had like this fall from grace, and he's been away for a decade. Now he's coming back. And so he did her gown and all her bridesmaids' dresses, and they took photos of it. You're all sitting at home, right? You can't go nowhere. You're all sitting at home because it's locked down. Your businesses are closed down. You got to wear diapers on your face when you go out. But they're flying in John Galliano to do her dress and all this. And they had everybody at this wedding. They had everybody at this wedding. And some of the people at this wedding included, it was all the circle that they run in. So Gavin Newsom and his wife were there. Other Newsom family members were there. They had, the Pelosis were there. I mean, all of them, because they all know each other and they all kind of grew up together. And everything else was locked down. And they had all of these people sitting in this rotunda, and they did not have face masks on. None of them. I mean, none of them had face masks on. They had a huge event the night before, and they all partied. Nobody had face masks on. Again, you still couldn't eat out in a restaurant, but whatever. And then the next day, they had the big wedding and then the big party. And then it just, and again, no face masks, everything else. And Newsom was at all of these events, because he's pictured at all of these events with his wife. I mean, he was like right in one of the front rows, or in the front at least, at this wedding. That all happened when you all had to have your kids do remote learning, when everyone, businesses were shutting down, things were closed, you couldn't go anywhere, you couldn't fly anywhere, you couldn't do nothing. They did that. So just understand the perspective that this dude has. And that event, by the way, that he went to, that came after the French Laundry thing. Remember, that was right after things locked down and he was pictured without a mask at French Laundry. So he's done this repeatedly. So that's the perspective he has. He has grown up with a silver spoon in his mouth and he's never had to ask for anything. He's been bankrolled by his family. He's a Nepo baby. And he's got the benefit of coming from two wealthy families and they know all these other wealthy families and they get to do whatever they want. And there's no question, no nothing about it. And so that's it gives you a little insight how he expects, you know, minimum wage or part-time workers at Target, due to his policies, they have to allow shoplifters to walk. And he's outraged that they didn't put themselves in harm's way and do what he could have done easily with policy. Does that give you some insight into this guy? Why in the hell would anybody consider, how do Democrats claim to be on the side of the blue collar dude and support somebody like this? I mean, how in the world? He is everything that is wrong with excess. And it is we did not want an aristocracy in the United States. They have tried to make one. It is some aristocratic BS.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, here. So, first up. Oh, gosh. But before you, why is this a Spotify tattoo? Why are people doing this? If you get a Spotify tattoo, artists say you need to know the risks. What? I didn't even know a Spotify tattoo was a thing, but apparently it is.
QR codes, too.
Oh, my gosh. What is up? It's only a matter of time before somebody starts like tattooing their OnlyFans QR code on their skin. Oh my, I just gave somebody an idea. I don't know what's happening. So anyway, apparently every piece of content on Spotify has blah, 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 soundbars, Spotify code. And if you tattoo it on your arm, you can scan it and it plays the content. And so people have that on there, but they say that it's like a party trick, but I don't know. I just feel like Spotify's not going to be around for forever. Right?
Like a tattoo would.
Yeah, like a tattoo would. And then when you're 70 years old, you have to explain to your kid who's your grandchild how the service that doesn't exist anymore, how this works. All right, so apparently, why are they going after... I'm going to pull this story up. Hang on. Everything's slow for a moment. And your girl's about to choke to death. Okay, so this headline is garbage. It says, contaminated raw milk sold in several Pennsylvania counties, prompting warnings. Okay, I have no problem with raw food. If you know what you're purchasing, then why? You should be able to purchase it. Why is this such a huge deal? I mean, and it's actually, raw milk is good for you. All this pasteurization and the homogenization and all this stuff. I remember Rossum out in California. That's like it was like a Costco for raw food. Like it was like a members only thing. And so you knew that you were getting like raw unpasteurized milk, and they raided it and they were accusing them. The feds like went in with full auto, no joke. They raided it and they went in and they were accusing them of selling raw milk and tricking people. And all these people were like, it's literally called Rossum, a raw food store.
Yeah.
And we pay to purchase premium raw food.
And it's actually even worse than that. What they'll do is when they raid them, they let this stuff sit out for hours before they take it to the lab to test. And then they're like, oh, look at how bad this stuff is that they're selling. It's like, no, you let this sit outside for 5 hours before you even took it to the lab. This is a BS headline.
Yeah, totally. So a junior high principal is fired for stealing seven cups of coffee. Half cups of coffee. Fresh. What? Yeah. Oh, so this is in Japan. Oh, yeah. You can't be doing that. Oh, that's a big bad no-no. That's rude. They have different things, different ways of living over there. Yeah, this guy, he went into the... He was supposed to pay 110 yen, like equivalent of 75 cents. For regular coffee, and apparently he didn't, and he stole it, so he got in trouble. A major taxidermied polar bear was stolen in a bizarre Canadian heist. I'm not saying it was me, but there would be signs. The public has been asked to keep an eye out for a giant 12-foot-tall stuffed polar bear north of Edmonton. So they're still looking. They're trying to find out the culprit.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
atmosphere is a wonderful thing. And we can create our own and the weather it brings. It brings hope for the future and so much more. Maybe some Punxsutawney Phil write-in votes in 2024. But what this weather did not provide is a shadow or reason to hide. Glad tidings on this Groundhog Day. An early spring is on the way.
Did they drug that rat? Because he was real chill in that guy's arms. That's that tree rat, Punxsutawney Phil. I like him. I like all those animals. He looks cuddly. Doesn't he?
You say tree rat, but he's literally a groundhog.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, a ground rat. Whatever. It's like a type of rat. I like him because he's fat and he's snuggleable.
And he's chill.
Yeah, he looks chill because you know why? Because they learned their lesson. They saw de Blasio murk that one. He yeeted that thing right on the concrete. And they were like, you see what happens? So do you know where this rat lives?
In a hole?
Not just any hole.
Oh, yeah?
It's called Gobbler's Knob.
Oh.
Do you know that? Steve probably knew it. You know, Steve's on the East Coast, so he knows all the weird East Coast stuff. Y'all got weird stuff out there. Got a rat that comes out and at the knob, and drops a deuce on the shady side of the tree, it's winter for five more weeks or something. Isn't that what it is?
That's in Yinzer country out there. That's where my uncle lives, out in Johnstown. But
Yinzer country, yeah. I love it. But and then how it goes, or wait, is it, if they, and you know what happens? It's only magical if they wear the top hats. He's just a regular rat, but they got to put the top hats on because science. Top hats make everything fancy. You know, if you just have like, you know, Umbros, wife beater, dirty flip flops, that's basic. You put a top hat with that, you're styling.
It's
that's
literally
fancy.
What John Fetterman does.
I give him a pass. I'm not
going to
make fun of John Fetterman as long as he keeps doing like nice stuff.
A tuxedo hoodie is fire.
I'll give it. It's fire. Like, you know, he's casual, but he's also here to be formal, you know. So Punxsutawney Phil, what did he do? He saw, so it's an early spring.
Yeah, he didn't see a shadow, right?
If he was to see it,
then we'd have 6 weeks of winter.
I want to know what high as all get out pilgrim came up with this. Like, who sits there and goes, look at that rat coming out?
What are you, a science questioner now?
Yeah. If it sees its shadow, it sounds like a drunk bet. If it sees its shadow, we're going to have winter. I'll take you up on that.
I bet you that's exactly how it got started.
I mean, some of the best traditions in the country got started like that.
Bet you 2 pints he won't see a shadow.
Yeah, bet you 2 pints he's not going to see a shadow. Well, he just defecated on the south side of the tree, so it looks like there's going to be spring. There it is. So I want a groundhog. Can you have them as pets? Is that possible? I'm curious. I'm legitimately curious about this.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.